chapter 13, and I will be brief, just really to introduce this parable that Jesus gave. And this parable, remember, it comes out of Matthew chapter 12, where the challenge was, decide who you're going to serve. You can't be on the fence. You have to be either for Christ or not. It's not a halfway measure thing. And we saw that the Pharisees were becoming harder and harder and moving farther and farther away from the truth. And yet there were people who were wanting to follow Jesus Christ. And I thank God that there are still today. So let's look at this parable just for a few moments. On the same day, Jesus went out of the sea and sat by the sea. Went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns. You're getting it there. And the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. We're not going to cover this whole parable today, but there's two things that Jesus brings out in it. And parables were told, and the disciples ask a question later, how come you're speaking in parables? Why are you telling in stories like this? And Jesus tells them, it's because if you're really seeking, you're going to understand. But if you're not seeking, then you're going to understand even less. That's basically the answer that Jesus gave, and I'm going to elaborate on that next week. But what I want you to think about today in this parable is that Jesus speaks about two basic elements in this story. One, it is the seed, and the second, the soil. Right? The seed and the soil. Two things, right? And when he speaks about the seed and the soil, he speaks about the contact between seed and soil. The importance of that contact and what the results of that contact is. Now, some of you are gardeners. I know Rolanda is here, and she is a gardener. Extraordinaire, right? You're welcome. And others, I'm sure there are other gardeners here as well. But you could have seed, and you could have it forever, and it is not going to be effective unless it goes into the soil, right? You have to have the soil to put it in. And so Jesus is telling a story here, and he's speaking about the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking about the things of God. And so we know that he's not just talking about gardening. Now, that was an agrarian society, which means planting and reaping and sowing. This was all part of their culture. So many young people today don't know what happens when a seed hits the soil. But that's exactly what Jesus was using as an illustration here. So when the parable is explained a little bit later, he tells us that the seed is... Does anybody know what the seed is? Because I don't have time to go to it now. The Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Okay, so if the seed is the Word, then what is the soil?
Our hearts.
Our hearts. We're the soil. Okay, so here's seed and here's soil. Now, this is not complicated, right? But it's profound how Jesus can take these things of earth and make such an incredible illustration of what needs to happen in people's lives. What needs to happen is that our soil needs to receive the seed, or there's not going to be any fruit. There's not going to be anything to grow. It's going to be barren. And so God gives the picture here that we are like soil that can't produce fruit without the seed, real fruit. You can get a lot of things sown into your life, but you know what they're saying, whatever man sows, that he will also reap, right? And sadly, many of us have sowed sin into our lives, and we reap the results of that, which isn't good. The wages of sin is death. And so there is so much soil out here in the world, and yet much of it is barren of the Word of God. And so when we look at this illustration that Jesus gives in concerning the relationship of the kingdom of God and what it's all about seed getting planted in good soil. That's what it's all about. It's seed planted in good soil. Now, you can see both my thumbs, they're not green. And they are never green. I am not a gardener. I'm not good at it. I can raise cows. I can make hay, different things like that. But when it comes to a garden, I am a flop. And I can gladly tell you, I will go to the store and buy my groceries when it comes to my greens. But, you know, maybe if I didn't fish Gaspereau in the spring, maybe I would have a garden. Maybe I could work at it or whatever. But I admire nice gardens. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's right. And my cousin's has a garden. It's extraordinary. It's beautiful, the way he grows stuff. It's wonderful to have that. That art, that ability to do that. Now, God is the gardener, right? And he looks on this world and he sees the soil of your heart and the soil of the heart of every person on the planet. And what does he want to do? He wants that soil to be prepared for seed. Now, I could go out with seed and I could say, I'm going to plant, and I'm going to plant corn everywhere I go. And I could take the seed and buy a big bag of it and then just walk around and fire that seed everywhere. How much of a harvest am I going to get? I'm coming from Marguerite, and I'm in the car, and I say to Marie, I'm going to plant some more corn. And I'm just firing it out the window, right? Am I going to see a great harvest? No. Why? Somebody speak good and loud here. It's got to be planted in prepared soil. So Jesus gives an illustration here of the seed of the word of God. And he said a sower went out to sow. You can go back to the beginning there. Yes, he said a sower went out to sow. And so he goes out to sow. And it speaks about four different kinds of soil, right? Seed that falls by the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. Seed that fell on stony places where they didn't have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because it had no depth, and the sun scorched it because it had no root, and it withered away. And then the next one, some fell on thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them, but others fell on what? Good ground. You know, God has called us to be sowers, because actually there's three participants here. There's the one who brings the word, right? That's the sower. There's the seed, and there's the soil. And so God has called us to sow, but he wants us to sow predominantly on good soil. Now, the problem is for us is we don't know where the good soil is. So we do cast out that seed, but we want God to be working and preparing hearts. And that's where prayer comes in. That's why it's so important. We're not just randomly going to go out, but we're going to trust God and pray and seek his face. Lord, break up the soil in people's hearts. Because here's what happens. If my heart is totally hard and the seed falls on it, just like the wayside, it says the birds come along, they pluck that seed away before it ever has a chance to take root. And so it's like it bounces off, right? And Jesus gives that illustration later. And I said next week we'll go into this a little more. But I just want to give the general picture here. And if the soil is full of it's rocky and it's hard and there's only just a small little bit of soil, then you drop the seed in that soil, but it doesn't have a chance because the soil is too shallow and the sun comes along and it bakes it. And so it begins to grow. It seems like there's going to be some life, but it doesn't go anywhere. There's nothing there. It's not enough. And then, of course, there's the other one where it's full of thorns. And Jesus explains the thorns are the cares of this world. It's all the other stuff in the world. Not just bad things, but everything in the world. And if it's all cluttered and full of all that, and the seed falls in among that, and that's not rooted out, what happens? Yeah. I mean, I'm really good at that part, because I plant a garden, but the weeds would seem to take over. And when the weeds take over, I'm going down between the weeds trying to find the plants, right? What's that? That's right. No ability to get the sunlight. It gets choked out. So friends, these illustrations are important because what they teach us, yes?
I think the hardest part of witnessing to someone and sharing, it's not actually the sharing of the word, for me anyway, It's the praying for that person and waiting on the Lord to make their hearts ready and open the door to share the gospel.
Absolutely. It is. And that's that recognition that there's a previous work. God has to be at work. So that much prayer, saying, God, guide me. Show me where to plant seed today. Help me to share the word. That doesn't mean we don't share the gospel with everybody. The Bible says share the gospel with every creature. And somehow God can use that word to break up the soil too. So we got to trust the Lord. He's at work in all of that. But let's understand that if it doesn't fall on prepared soil, in the end, it's not going to produce real fruit. You can have somebody who gets excited for a few days about the Bible or the Word of God, or even for a few weeks. And oh yeah, it's wonderful. That's all good news, and they're all excited. But there's a deep work that has to happen in the heart. And you know, that work is a work where the heart is tenderized and prepared. It's like that rocky soil. We got to get all the rocks out of there, right? It's like that soil that's got thorns and bushes and thistles and everything else in it. They've got to be dug out of there. And God is the one who does that kind of work. God comes and he says, I want to change your heart. You can't take Christ and the world and walk together. You can't do that. So some people will say, yes, I'm accepting Christ as my Savior. But on the one hand, they're saying, yes, I'm accepting Christ as my Savior, but it's not going to change my life. I don't really want a change. I just want fire insurance from going to hell. Well, if that's all you want, that's not what you're going to get. You won't have fire insurance from hell. You'll have nothing. Because if I think I'm going to take Christ and I'm going to take the world and we're all going to walk together, it isn't going to happen that way. You can't have the world and have Jesus at the same time. Yes.
Sometimes it's not just adding the world. It's adding your other spiritual beliefs that are not consistent with the gospel.
Sure. It's anything that is not centered around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. God calls us to that. You can't have both. And that's what the picture that's given here. Even the soil that was fairly good and rich and deep, the problem was something else was planted there. The principle in the scriptures is this. If you want something to come in, guess what? Something's got to go out. It's got to go out. You can't have both. Right? That's God's plan. God's plan and passion. So that sometimes people will say, you know, oh yeah, I accept Christ as my Savior. Oh, it's wonderful. This is awesome. But there is no depth to it at all. There's no genuine understanding. There's no seeking the face of God. There's no conviction for sin. There's no repentance. And there's no desire to change. You know what? It won't last. True salvation will. And what Jesus gives an illustration here is, he gives an illustration that there will be people who will make some kind of response to the gospel, but it may not be genuine. Because the genuine thing changes your life. And it changes it so that there's fruit that comes from it. It says some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. It means that not everybody's going to produce the same amount of fruit, and not everybody's going to produce the same fruit, but there will be fruit. There will be fruit. And that is what God calls us to. He calls us to a place where we receive the word of God, and we receive it not just for the moment, not just because it's exciting in the moment, or a preacher's preaching and, oh, he's just so belting it out there, and I just had to say something, I had to do something. But it is a deeper work than that. It is a work where my heart is transformed because God is at work. So Jesus gives that illustration to us that we might understand when we go out to sow, let's try to get as much on the good soil as we can. I don't believe Jesus was saying 25% of the seed fell on the wayside, 25% fell on the stony, 25% fell on the thorns, and 25% fell on good soil. You want to try and get as much seed on good soil as you can, right? That's what I believe. Now, some of it will fall in these places. If you're going to scatter seed, some of it's going to fall in places where it's not going to work. But thank God that Jesus Christ is working in this world and preparing hearts and working and tilling the soil of people's hearts here in Shetty Camp and in Pleasant Bay and in other communities. God is preparing soil. He's preparing hearts. He's creating hunger. He's creating desire. Even as was expressed this morning from a 90-year-old woman, that there was a desire. That's God working. And that's exciting, isn't it? And how wonderful that is. So let's look for opportunities. Let's create them. Let's be ready as gardeners to go out and share the seed of the Word of God so that people can be converted. People can bear fruit. Now, when it speaks about bearing fruit, what kind of fruit does God want to see in your life and mine? Anybody know? Pardon me?
Good fruit.
Good fruit. Oh, yeah, that's...
Love.
Love, yes.
The fruit of the
Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Are they the things that are coming out of your life? Because you know what? If that's not what's coming out, something's wrong with the soil. It's possible for people to say that they're Christians and not be Christians. And the test is not how much Bible verses they know. It's not even how well-spoken they are. The test is character. God changes our character. Character's not changed. Maybe I need to get some soil dug up here so that God comes in and brings change. Real fruit comes from real Christians who have really been planted with the Word of God planted in them, and it brings real change. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. Thank God that that's true, because Jesus is giving this as illustration so we might understand. Just because somebody says, or say, because they hear the Word of God, or they go to church, or they do all the Christian things, that does not make them Christians. And you know, Jesus did say in Matthew chapter 7, there are many in that day at the end of judgment who are going to say, Lord, Lord, we did this, we did this, we did this. And he says, depart from me, you worker of sin. I never knew you. And they weren't doing things like going out and getting drunk, getting stoned, and doing prostitution. They weren't doing any of those things. They were doing all the religious things, and they were still lost. How important it is that we understand that we need to have the divine sower, the one who brings us the Word of God, the precious Word of God, as much I could say. But this, the Word would come and be planted in the soil of our hearts, and that we would have no room for anything else. Lord, plant your Word in my heart and grant me the grace to respond. And as we go out and share this precious Word, that we'd be praying, Lord, open up people's hearts. Oh God, till the soil of their hearts. Lord, give me opportunity to share in people's lives, to share that you need to repent. You need to turn from sin. You can't have your sin and have Christ. You can't go this way. If you continue in your sins, Jesus said, if you die in your sins, you cannot go where I am. Can we fail? Can we sin as Christians? Yes, we can. But the Bible tells us it is not the practice of Christians to keep on doing the same things, same sins, but that there is deliverance in Jesus Christ. So, that's all I want to share with you right now, because our time is basically gone, but I'm glad we had a wonderful morning. It was good to hear the testimonies and the singing and the sharing that we had this morning. It was glorious. And I know we have two kids here who have been waiting for a puppet show, and we're not going to disappoint them. So, it's time for a puppet show.